Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God does not like it when leaders within His church misrepresent Him, especially when they do it for personal gain. Sound doctrine and spiritual discernment are vital defenses against these charlatans. Most of a Christian's rewards are yet future and eternal. Jesus wore a crown of thorns that we might receive glorious crowns that we will one day cast at His feet. Please open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his discussion of this chapter.
The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's God's word. And so here is Peter writing his first of two epistles, actually ending this first epistle. He identifies himself as an elder. Notice that Peter does not command others. He's exhorting them. Notice that he doesn't claim to have power to rule over all other elders. He calls himself a fellow elder. Peter never claimed a superior place above his brethren, but as a fellow elder, he exhorts them. Of course, he was one of the 12 disciples. He not only witnessed the suffering of Jesus Christ, but he was one of the three who saw Christ's glory at the transfiguration. He mentions that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. It's also found in Mark 9, 1 through 13. It was then that Peter partook of the Lord's glory, and he reminds the elders, and he's going to be reminding the congregation here, that glory awaits those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Peter often reminds his readers that suffering as a believer precedes glory. He mentions that in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and this morning he mentions it. Notice the exhortation that is given to the elders, the pastors, the bishops. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. The flock of God belong to Christ. You don't belong to any pastor, you belong to Jesus Christ. And yet, in the design of God, He entrusts the feeding and the caring of His flock to under-shepherds. And notice, beloved, that Spirit-filled tending of the church is described by three pairs of contrasts, not and then but, in verses 2 and 3. The church is people. You, look around. People. And God calls you sheep. Have you ever done a study on sheep? Well, if you do, it's going to real quickly humble any notion of pride within you. Sheep are not brilliant animals. They're not brilliant. They will drink from filthy streams. They'll do dumb things. That's sheep. That's you. That's me. People. You see, the church is not a corporation. The church is not a business. The church is called a body. The church is called a family. And the pastors or the overseers are not CEOs of a company. The primary objective of pastoral ministry here is feeding the sheep, and that feeding is with sound teaching. We know that if anyone is called into the office of an overseer, they must be apt to teach. That's what Jesus said to Peter in John chapter 20 when it says, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And so teaching is a very, very important part of pastoral ministry. When the church began to grow in the book of Acts chapter 6, and there were some practical needs, remember what the apostle said, that there were to be men appointed, spirit-filled, to pass out food to the Gentile widows. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so the importance of feeding, that's what we want to do here. That's what we desire to do here, to feed you, the people of God, with the word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We desire to go through all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, because all the Bible contains all the counsel of God. And it's a good thing for you and I to go through the Bible together. But another aspect of feeding the flock is protecting the flock. Acts 28 talks about protecting the flock from wolves that are on the outside, but also wolves who are on the inside. The word oversight here speaks of caring for the flock. And the desire for all of this, the desire to serve in that capacity, comes from God. Doesn't come necessarily from a seminary, though seminaries are wonderful. Doesn't come from a Bible college. It's wonderful. The call to be in ministry must come from God. And notice what Peter says. He says that those in leadership are not to serve by constraint. In other words, the ministry is not, it's not a job. The ministry is not a career. The ministry isn't a weekend hobby. That's a calling from Jesus Christ. And serving Jesus is both the most challenging and most wonderful thing in the universe. And it is to be done willingly. It is to be done eagerly. It's not to be done out of force or pressure. It certainly should not be done out of obligation or duty or for financial benefit. Not a filthy lucre. Any ministry with a strong emphasis on money should raise questions about the motivations of the ministry itself. You see, because a true leader is going to be more concerned for what they can give to the flock than what they can get from them. Of a ready mind. In other words, in season, out of season, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, the weight, the urgency of what we do will compel us to avoid the extreme of laziness or indifference. And the pastor's desire should be Galatians 1:10, to please the Lord, not men, not sheep. And sometimes in going through the Word of God, you know that you're going to go into a section of Scripture that is probably not going to settle well with people. And yet you must preach the word, and let the text do the work in the hearts of God's people. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul said, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. Notice he says in verse 3 that leaders should not be lording over God's heritage, not domineering, The idea here is that a leader of God is not going to manipulate people. They are not going to intimidate people. They are not going to be control freaks. They are not going to be bossy. In 3 John verse 9, there's a reference to a man by the name of Diotrephes who loved to have the preeminence over the people of God. Jesus, not man, is to have the preeminence in the church. He is to be preeminent and prominent. We see a beautiful picture of this in the book of Judges in the Old Testament, 8:23. Gideon rightly said, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. It's the desire of any spirit-filled, God-called pastor that the Lord rule in your life. Ministers now, Peter also says, are called to be examples of the flock. Examples, not lords, not bosses shoving people around, not individuals demanding to be saved. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 24, he says, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. It's by faith in Christ you stand. Part of the ministry and the feeding is that your joy would increase, your joy in the Lord, your joy in Christ. The word minister actually means a servant, but this servant is a doulos. In the old covenant, if a man had a master and he served him for 7 years, he had the freedom to go. But if he loved his master, he would be taken to a door frame. They would bore a hole in his ear. They would put an earring in his ear. And he would say, I love my master, and my life now is going to be devoted to him and to his will. That's who Peter is describing here. Someone who is devoted to the will of their master, and in this case, Jesus Christ. Jesus taught Peter what true greatness is in his church. He told us what it meant to be a servant. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, Jesus said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's the world. They throw people around. Doesn't matter who gets in their way, as long as my way is done. He says, but it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your doulos. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your doulos. Notice, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So you see how leadership in the body of Christ is to be the opposite of the world. In fact, I've heard it said that when you're in the body of Christ, the longer that you serve him, you just get to wash more feet. Isn't that the last example that Jesus gave us? John chapter 13, he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Do you know what Jesus was doing there in the upper room? After 3 years of teaching and preaching and doing miracles, this was his last pictorial example. And here he takes the job of the lowest of slaves and he washes their feet. And then he says, let us never forget this, beloved. John 13, 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, when you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Happy are the servants of the Lord. Happy, not bummed out. And Jesus' purpose there in John chapter 13 was to establish the model of loving humility for all who serve in the church. You remember how the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy about being an example in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Also note here, saints, that pastors need to remember that the church is God's heritage, not theirs. And here are these scattered, persecuted saints that were well-beloved of God, and they needed to know as well that they too would one day be partakers of the glory when Christ returns. Notice in verse 4, when, not if, the chief shepherd shall appear. He is going to appear. Amen? He's going to. It is finished. Christ is risen. Christ is coming. 9 English words. Remember them, and that will keep you heavenly minded in this crazy world that we live in. He is going to appear. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd. How did Jesus minister while he was on earth? Well, it was prophesied in chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's Jesus. That's how he ministered to people. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And here Peter says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Did you ever see people get these crowns, the Olympic crowns, the MVP of basketball, hockey, football, baseball, pickleball, any kind of ball? They get a little crown. Those crowns fade. But for those who serve Christ with a right heart, we are promised crowns of life, crowns of righteousness, crowns of rejoicing. And here, Peter specifically addresses those in leadership. And he says, one day you will receive from the hand of Christ a crown of glory for their service. And that is to be stimulating to you. That's to stimulate us to serve the Lord. Well, let me say two things. I believe everybody that is part of a local church should make it their purpose to serve somewhere, somehow. Isn't every part of your body helpful? You didn't leave your right thumb home, did you? I hope nobody has a missing right thumb, right? You brought every part of your body, right? Because you need it. And let me add here that I believe that anybody that is called upon to serve in the local church should first realize who they are serving. That's the key. Secondly, they should be reminding themselves of the fact daily, that fact that we are serving him, because there are many times when you will simply not feel like serving. But it doesn't matter how you feel, does it? You have good days. You have bad days. You have days where you can't wait to get here. And then you have days say, why don't I just stay in bed? In season, out of season. And thirdly, in light of how much Jesus has suffered for us, serving his flock is a way that we are serving him. And whatever we do, we should be doing it lovingly, willingly, cheerfully. And every way that you serve the Lord, like, for example, our local fellowship, you park a car, you're doing it for an audience of one. You rock a baby in the nursery, you're doing it for an audience of one. You do sound, you answer the phone, for an audience of one. Worship team, you get it? Everything that we do now, in light of what Christ has done for us, in light of the fact that he's coming again, we do whatever we do for an audience of one. Why do I say that? Because a grumbling and complaining servant is a misrepresentation of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget being at a pastor's conference out in the heyday of the Jesus movement. And Pastor Chuck Smith was talking about how one day after, they had like four or five services on a Sunday morning at the time. Well, it just so happened there's one particular Sunday that all of the deacons went home. All of the people on staff went home. And so the sanctuary needed some vacuuming because they were going to be coming back in a little while. And Chuck was, you know, he's a great man, but he's just a man. The best of us are just men. And there he is. He's just vacuuming. And he goes, oh, where's those deacons? Where's? And there he is. And he says, as sure as you can hear my voice, man, he says, I heard the Lord say to me, Chuck, who are you doing this for? And Chuck Smith said, I'm doing it for you, Lord. He says, if you're doing it for me, stop doing it or stop complaining. And so he just whistled and sang how great thou art, or whatever it was. See, that's the idea here. We all get to serve the Lord together. Nobody's better. Nobody is whatever. We all do this together. Paul wrote this to the church at Colossae in chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thanks what? Thanks for what Christ has done that gives you and I the privilege to do what we get to do. We get to do this. Pinch yourself. God's gifted you in so many ways, and you get to use that gift to glorify him. Isn't it marvelous? Well, I was hoping for a better response than that, but it says in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Again, reminding yourself, reminding one another, we're doing this for the Lord. And whatever we do for the Lord with a pure heart, we're going to get a reward. Whatever we do not from a pure heart, there's going to be some wood, hay, and stubble and smoke at the judgment seat. But the promise of that reward, whatever you do in the name of the Lord, whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it for him, knowing that of the Lord. You see, why did Paul say of the Lord? Because many times on earth, you may not get what you are anticipating or thinking you should be receiving. We get to do this for the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? We do this because we love the Lord and because he puts a love in your heart for God's people. I just love you guys. Huh? You're the cutest stinking little sheep on the planet. No, but that's the heart of Jesus. And let me say this, that's what made the Jesus movement so powerful, because that was the motivation that we grew up with, realizing, wow, Lord, we know that we're nothing, and you give us the privilege to do this? Wow. But anything you do, do it heartily for the Lord. Now, notice the word likewise in verse 5. This is the last of four uses of the word likewise, and they are all within the context of lining up under God's designed order. Peter had already written to the saints about submitting to the government, about the design of submitting to one another in the covenant of marriage. And now he writes about submitting one to another. Notice he says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And so Peter is exhorting the younger saints to submit to and respect the spiritual leadership that God has placed over them. The writer to the Hebrews said in chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he said in chapter 5 of the first epistle, verse 12 and 13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Labor. It's work. I remember one time years ago, sitting in my office, and this little boy comes running in my office, and he says to me, true story, he goes, Pastor Ray, what do you do for a job? As many people think, well, what do you do? Yeah, you just, you go out, you know, you go to the gym, or you play golf, or you ride a bike, and you do all this fun stuff, and then here we go, this is it, for 45 minutes. No, this is labor. And most of the stuff that you do is not known to people. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy word. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.